直营服务源于聆听，各位尊敬的奉献者，大家早晨好。今天是2019年1月26日，星期六。我们非常荣幸的邀请到亲爱的 Satya Deva Prabhu 为我们讲述今天的圣典博加瓦坛的早课。感谢大家的聆听 ，Hare Krishna。
Hare Krishna, good morning to all the devotees in China and Thailand and wherever.
Hare Krishna, 中国的奉献者们、泰国的奉献者们，还有全世界各地的奉献者们，大家早晨好。
Today we're broadcasting from Grass Valley, California.
今天我是在加利福尼亚这边有个叫草谷的地方跟大家做直播。
And we are on Canto 6, Chapter 2, Verse 7 today.
然后今天我们要讲的是这个瓦坛的第六篇第二章的第七诗节。
But before we begin the class, we'll chant Jaya Radha Madhava.
当然在我们开始上课之前，我们还是一起来唱一下 Jaya Radha Madhava。
Okay, here we go. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja BihariGopi jana balava girivana dhari Gopi jana balava girivana dhari Yasoda nandana braja jana rajana Yasoda nandana braja jana rajanaYamuna Tiravana Chari Yamuna Tiravana Chari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja VihariGopi jana balava girivana dhari Gopi jana balava girivana dhari Yasoda nandana braja jana rajana Yasoda nandana braja jana rajanaYamuna Tiravana Chari Yamuna Tiravana Chari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja VihariJaya Prabhupada, 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 Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, 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 Jaya Prabhupada, Nitya Gaur Premananda Hari Bol. Okay, so we can begin.Canto 6, Chapter 2, Text 7.
那么我们今天就一起来开始一下瓦坛的第六篇第二章第七诗节。
And currently these verses are being spoken by the Vishnu Dutas to the Yama Dutas.
然后在这个诗节的附近的几个诗节的话呢，都是在是由 Vishnu Duta 跟 Yama Duta 说话的诗节。
And they're giving all the reasons why Ajamil should not be punished and taken to Yamaraj.
然后他们就给出了所有的理由来说明为什么阿加米勒不应该受到惩罚，被带到阎罗王的面前。
Actually, up until this point of the story, they've been subtly chastisingThe Yamadutas for wanting to punish Ajamil.
Subtly, huh?
Yeah, not so directly.
啊，I see。所以说，实际上到目前的这个故事进展到这个点儿上的话呢，实际上 Vishnu Dutta 他们都有点很微妙的，是在批评Yamadutta，就是批评他们，就是为什么要把阿伽弥勒拿来，就是带到阎罗王的面前，就是这种为什么要惩罚他？
Yeah, they've been saying, you know, you're representatives of Yamaraj, you're leaders in society, you have to set the proper example, and you should know that Ajamil is not punishable.
然后他们就说到，就是Yamadutta，你们都是这个阎罗王的代表，你们是社会当中的领导者，然后你们也是应该以身作则，是以身表率的，这样来给大家树立起一个好的一个例子。那么，并且你们也应该知道，就是阿伽弥勒他是不应该受到惩罚的。
Yeah, and they say, you know, if the government punishes innocent people, then no one will trust the government anymore.
然后他们就说到，如果政府惩罚了那些无辜的人，那么实际上也就没有任何大众人民能愿意去信任这个政府了。
So over and over, they've said, Ajamil, he's innocent, he's not punishable.
因此他们一而再、再而三的都是在强调一点，那就是阿伽弥勒他是无辜的，是不应该受到惩罚的。
But they haven't yet explained exactly why he's not punishable.
但是他们到目前都还没有确切的去阐释到，就是为什么阿伽弥勒是不应该受到惩罚的。
But now in the story, we're coming to hear the explanation of the Vishnu Buddhas as to why Ajamil is an innocent person who doesn't deserve to be punished.
所以说到故事进展到现在的这个点上，然后也就是Vishnu Dutta 开始去阐释到、解释到为什么阿伽弥勒是无辜的，为什么他不值得受到惩罚。
Okay, we'll continue with verse 7 now.
那么我们现在就来一起看一下第七世节。
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Ayam hi kita nirvesho janma kot yama samapi yadvyajahara vidvasho namaswast yayanam hare. Ayam
这个人阿伽弥勒，
hi
事实上。
Krita nirgosha,
已赎清所有种类的罪，
janma,
出生的，
koti,
百万的，
amhasam,
罪恶活动，
api,
甚至，
yat,
因为，
vyajahara,
他已经呼喊。
vivasha,
在无助的情况下，
Nama,
圣名、
Swasti Ayanam,
解脱的方式，
Hare.
至尊人格守神的。
Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Ajamil has already atoned for all his sinful actions. Indeed, he has atoned not only for sins performed in one life, but for those performed in millions of lifetimes. For in a helpless condition, he has chanted the holy name of Narayana. Even though he did not chant purely, he chanted without offense, and therefore he is now pure and eligible for liberation.
译文：阿伽弥勒已经赎清了他所有的罪行， 事实上，他因为在无助的情况下喊出主 Narayana 的圣名，所以不仅赎清了这一生的罪，而且还赎清了好几百万生世从事过的罪恶。尽管他的呼喊并不纯粹，但却是没有冒犯的，因此他现在变得纯净，有资格解脱了。Continue with purport.
Yes, please.
Okay. 要指阎罗翁的命令执行官们只考虑阿迦比勒的外在情况，由于他一生都极其罪恶，他们便认为该把他带到阎罗王那里去，但却不知道他已经清除了所有的恶报。为此 Vishnu 的命令执行官告诉他们，由于他在死亡时发出 Narayana 圣名的四个音节，他所有的罪恶被一笔勾销。就有关这一点，圣 Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur 引述伟大文献中的诗文说，仅仅靠吟诵吟唱 Hari 的一个圣名，罪恶之人就能抵消比他所能犯下的罪行还要多的罪。大 Vishnu 往事书，圣去这么做的情况下吟诵吟唱至尊主圣名的人，其恶报都离他而去，恰似一头狮子一声大吼。所Garuda 往事书，人一旦吟诵吟唱至尊主，他的解脱。 Skanda 往事书，这些就是 Vishnu 的命令执行官为何要拒绝阎罗王的命令执行官带走阿迦米勒的一些理由。 And the proper.
Thank you. Om Aganata Mirandasya Vinanjana Samakaya Chaksurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurve Namaha Mahom Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prastaya Bhutale Srimache Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pacharine Nirvishesha Sunyavadi Pastyatya Deshutane Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaur Bhaktavinoda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Panchakalpa Kurubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyascha Patitanam Pavanevyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Namaha. So now we're coming to the section in the story that I've been waiting for.
现在我们到达的这个故事的这一节，就是我一直都在等待的这一节。
Yeah, so the Vishnu Dutas are informing the Yama Dutas that actually Ajamil has already atoned for all of his sins because he chanted the holy name in a helpless condition.
所以说在这个当中 Vishnu Dutta 就是在告知 Yamadutta， 就是阿迦米勒他已经为他所有的罪行都进行了赎罪，因为他是在一种毫非常无助的情况下然后念诵了主的圣名。
So they admit the Vishnu Dutas, they admit that Ajamil, he didn't chant the holy name purely, but at the same time, he didn't chant with offense either.
因此 Vishnu Dutta 就在这里承认到，就是阿迦米勒他并没有是在一种非常纯净的状态上，纯粹的状态下念诵圣名，但是的话呢，他却是在没有冒犯的情况下念诵圣名的。
And so, basically what they're describing here is what's called Namabhas.
所以说基本上他们在这里描述的就叫做 Namabhas.
It's called this, Nama means the holy name.
Nama 这个梵文词的意思就是圣名。
And Abhas means a reflection.
而 Abhas 的这个意思就是指反应反射。
So it's the indirect holy name.
因此的话呢，这个 Namabhas 的意思也就是说，并非直接的，是被反应反射出来的圣名。
So the holy name is compared to the sun.
因此我们把圣名比喻作是太阳。
So the sun is very powerful.
而太阳光是非常强大的。
It can heat the whole universe. And it does.
所以说太阳光是加热了整个这个宇宙，而确实也是如此，就是让整个宇宙这个温度都升高了。
And really, even in a physical sense, the sun is the source of energy for all life.
然后甚至是就是从这个物理的角度来说的话呢，太阳的话，它也是所有生命的这个能量的来源。
So it's very powerful.
所以说真的是非常非常强大的。
Now, if you have a magnifying glass,
所以如果大家要是有个放大镜的话，
and you direct a small part of the sun ray through the magnifying glass, you can start a fire.
所以如果就是在这个比如说大太阳的情况下，大家拿这个放大镜然后照在这一块的这样一个土地上的话呢，那么然后这个阳光通过这个放大镜都是可以被点燃的，然后相当于你面前的那片土地或怎么样就被点燃了。
So you could say in that situation that the power of the sun is present, but only partially, only a small portion of the sun is present.
然后因此在这种情况下，我们可以说，那么当我们用放大镜来把一个东西拿给点燃的时候，那么太阳的这个太阳光的力能量确实是存在的，但是的话呢，它实际上也就只是太阳光的一部分，就一小部分的这个阳光的能量是展现出来的。
Yeah, so there's enough presence of the sun to start a fire.
所以说可以说是有足够的这个阳光的这个能量的展现，然后能够把这个火给点着的。
Yeah, so we have to admit, well, the sun is at least partially present. Maybe not the whole power of the sun, but some power.
所以说我们至少要能够承认，那就是太阳在这种情况下它是部分的展现出来的它的这个能量，它的力量，但并不是全部的展现。
Yeah, so, Ajahn Mill, he wasn't chanting the holy name with the expectation that his sins would be forgiven.
所以说阿加米勒在当时念出主的圣名的时候，他是并没有带着这种期望，就是这个期望就是他通过念诵能够洗清所有他犯下的罪孽。
That would have been an offense.
而如果他是有这样的期望的话，那实际上就是对圣名的冒犯了。
That's the seventh offense in chanting. Sometimes Prabhupada says that's the worst offense.
然后这个是就是十项冒犯当中的第七项，然后在某些情况下的话呢，实际上帕帕都说过，这就是十项冒犯当中最糟糕的一项冒犯了。
Yeah, because in order to be free of that offense, one has to give up that cheating mentality, right?
所以说因为就是如果一个人要从这样的一种心态当中解脱出来，自由出来的话，那么他就必须要放弃这种欺骗的这种就是心理状态。
But anyway, it's worth noting what the consciousness was of Ajahn Mill when he chanted the holy name.
但总而言之的话呢，我们都应该就是都应该是值得去注意到，就是当阿加米勒他念出主的圣名的时候，在那一刻他的知觉状态是怎样的。
Well, he was about to die, so he was afraid and felt completely helpless.
所以说当时的他是基本上马上就要死亡的，然后他当时是非常恐惧害怕，就完全处于这样一种无助的情况下。
And just by chance, he had named his son Narayan, and he was calling out for his son.
而完全只是一种偶然情况下，他给他的儿子取名就是主 Narayana 的名字，然后他在那一刻喊出来的就是他儿子，他是完全是喊他儿子的。
So this is one kind of namabhas. One chants the holy name, but doesn't know one is chanting the holy name.
所以这就是 Namabhas 的其中的一种， 那这种类的话呢，就是一个人去念诵圣名，但是完全都不知道，都不是抱有这个要念诵圣名的目的去念诵圣名的。
In San Francisco, in the financial district, there's one print shop there.
Print shop?
Yeah, they print things. Like Kinko's.
然后所以说就是我举个例子，就像在三藩市这边的话呢，那个市区当中最繁华金融的那个区域，然后就这样一个印刷店。
There's a big sign there on the shop. It says Krishna Printing.
Krishna Printing. 然后、yeah. 然后在这个印刷店的这个店门口上面就挂了一个很大的一个牌子，广告牌，就名字竟然叫 Krishna 印刷店。
Yeah, and so many people, you know, they're walking down the street. They've never heard of Krishna, and they don't know what Krishna means. But they look up at the sign, and they read it, and in their mind, they're reading Krishna.
所以说大家可以想象一下哈，就是走在这个大街上的路人们，然后他们看到这个印刷店的这么大的一个招牌，然后看到哎 Krishna 这个名字，但他们从来都不知道 Krishna 是谁，也不知道这个名字是什么意思，但是他们却是在自己的心意当中练出了这个名字。
Yeah, so this is one kind of namabhas. One is chanting the holy name, but doesn't know one is chanting at earth, is not intentionally chanting.
所以说这就是 Namabhas 的其中一种，就是当一个人念诵圣名的时候，却并不是抱着念诵圣名的目的来说出这个名字的，而只是在一种其他的原因，然后来偶然的念出了这个神的名字。
At the same time, even though the person is not intending to chant, there is some contact with the holy name, Krishna's presence.
然后但同时的话呢，由于虽然说这个人他不是就是带着要去念诵主的圣名的这个意图的，但是由于他念出了这个主的圣名，也就是在与圣名有了一些连接，那么在他念的时候，实际上 Krishna 在那一刻是临在的。
Now Lord Chaitanya has said Nam Nam Akari Bahuda Nija Sarva Saktis Tati Arpita Niyamita Smaranay Nakala Etadrishi tava kripa bhagavam mamati durdaivam udrisham ihajani namuraga. He says, nam nam akari bahuda nija sarva saktis. He says, Lord, you.
所以说刚才 Guru 念的那一段梵文当中的话，也就是主柴坦尼亚的一段话。然后第一句话是这个意思，就是我的亲爱的主啊，你有这么多成千上万的名字。
Then he says, Nija Sarva Shakti, which means, Nija means personal.
然后接下来这句话第一个这个词 Nija 的意思也就是指个人的。
And Sarva means all.
而 Sarva 的意思就是所有。
And Shakti means power.
而 Shakti 的意思就是指力量。
So Lord, the Lord is saying, the God has millions of names.
所以主柴坦尼亚就在说，神有这么上成千上万的名字。
And they are equally powerful, and they contain the personal power of the Lord.
然后而所有的这些名字的话呢，都是同等的有力量的，然后所有的这些名字都包含有神的这个个人的力量。
That means the Lord is personally present in his millions of names. It doesn't matter which name.
所以这句话的意思也就是说主他个人是存在于能够临在于所有这些名字当中的。
Especially the names of the Lord that indicate the personal form of the Lord.
特别是就是每一个名字的话呢，都能够指示出主的某一种个人的一种形体。
Like Ishvara means just the general controller. We don't get that much of a personal impression.
Ishvara, 所以说 Ishvara 这个名字的意思的话呢，就是指一种整体的一种 控制者的意思。所以说，而对于这个名词的话呢，它就不会有这种太多的个人的celebrity marriage personal one。
We don't get a personal sense of the Lord.
哦，所以说通过这个名字的话呢，我们就没有得到对于主的一种很个人的，就是跟他很个人的这种连接和这种感觉在里面。
So sometimes there's a distinction made between the personal names of the Lord and the more general names, just like Lord.
General name. 因此的话呢，在某些时候就会对于主的一些很个人的名字，然后而和主的这些很总体的这些名字，很普遍的这些名字之间，这二者之间就会有区别所在。
So Narayan, Krishna, Rama, these are very personal.
所以说 Narayan, Krishna, Rama 这些名字的话呢，就是主非常个人的名字。
They also indicate the form of the Lord, the particular form.
并且这些名字分别也指示出就是主的某一种特定的形体和形态。
So these are called primary holy names.
而这些名字就被称为叫做主要的、首要的圣名。
And the names that refer to God, but they're not very personal, they're called secondary names.
而其他的一些名字的话呢，他们也是神的名字，但是他们却并不是那么个人的，我们就把这一系列的名字称作为叫做次等的、次要的圣名。
So, Ajamil, he called out a very personal name of the Lord.
因此在这个诗节当中，阿加米勒实际上喊出的就是这个主的一个非常个人的名字。
And it has four syllables.
而这个名字的话含有四个音节。
Na, ra, ya, na.
就是这四个音节。
Narayana.
Narayana.
Yes, sir. And so according to the Vishnu Dutas, just by saying the name Narayana once in a helpless condition,Without expecting anything, Ajamil was chanting the holy name in Nam Bas.
Chanting the holy name in Nam Bas. 因此的话呢，就根据Vishnu Dutta 这个地方他们的这个说法，那么就是当阿加米勒他在一种毫无就是非常无助的情况下。喊出了圣名就这么一次而当他在喊出圣名的这种情况下的时候他是完全没有带有任何期望的这种状态 来念出圣名的而这个时候的话呢他就是在以一种 Namabas 的状态来念诵圣名的
So he wasn't chanting purely
他当然不是以一种非常纯净纯粹的状态来念诵圣名的
But he also wasn't chanting offensively
但同时他也并不是一种非常以一种冒犯的方式来念诵圣名的。
Because he wasn't intending to become free of his sins by chanting.
因为他并不是带有这个目的而这个目的企图就是通过念诵他的所有的罪业都会被洗净。
So in this verse, very important verse, the Vishnu Dutas explain what is the result one gets.From chanting the holy name at the level of Nam Abbas.
所以说在这个非常重要的诗节当中 Vishnu Dutta 就描述到当一个人是在这个 Nam Abbas 的这种层面上来念诵圣名的时候那么他会获得什么样的一个结果
And they say that Ajamil,just by chanting that one name helplessly, he was freed from all the sins he had committed in this life.
In this life. Okay. 所以说他们就说到就是阿加米勒当他在这样一种非常无助的情况下就念出了圣名这么一次然后那么他在这一生在今生所犯下的所有的罪孽就完全被洗净了。
The Yamadutas,They were assuming that Ajamil, that he needed to be punished for all the sins that he had performed in this life.
而亚玛杜塔的话呢，他们都认为阿加米勒应该为他在今生所犯下的所有罪孽的话呢，受到惩罚。
But the Vishnu Duttas are telling them, no, no, he's already been freed from the sins for this life.
而 Vishnu Dutta 却在告诉 Yama Dutta 就是，哎，不不，他实际上是不应该受到惩罚的，因为他已经从今生所有犯下的罪行的这种罪行当中解脱出来了。
But not only that,
而且不仅如此。
He has been freed from all the sins that he may have performed for millions of lifetimes.
所以说不仅如此的话呢，这个阿加米勒可以说是从好几百万生世当中所犯下的这个罪行当中都解脱出来了。
Yeah, so he's been freed from sins of everything that he did in this life and all the previous lifetimes practically.
所以说从实际的层面上来说，阿加米勒就是不仅从今生所犯下的罪孽，并且是前世所有犯下的这些罪行当中都解脱出来了。
Now you can imagine some person reading this verse of Srimad Bhagavatam without the purport. They would think, this can't be true.
所以说大家可以想象一下哈，如果一个人要是读到了瓦坛当中的这个诗节，然后但是却没有读药旨的话，那么他肯定会觉得这不可能的。
So Viswanath Chakravarti, of course, many acharyas, they've made comments on the different verses of Srimad Bhagavatam.
所以说 Vishnu,
Viswanath Chakravarti.
Vishwanath Chakravarti 说，这位圣人还有其他的灵性导师，他们都是在这个瓦坛当中不同的诗节当中做下了评论的。
This purport is for those who doubt the statement of the Vishnu Duttas.
所以说这个诗节的要旨的话呢，是专门针对那些怀疑这个就是 Vishnu Dutta 所说的话的这些人所写的。
First, he quotes from the Brihad Vishnu Purana.
所以说首先的话呢，这个要旨是引用了这个大威士努往事书当中的这一个诗节。
There it says, if you just chant one name of Hari, a simple man can counteract the reactions to more sins than he is able to commit.
所以大家看到要旨当中这所写的，就是大威士努往事书当中这句话，就仅仅通过吟诵 Hari 的一个圣名，罪恶之人就能抵消比他所能犯下的罪行还要多的罪。
Yes, so Vishwanath Chakravarti, he's not giving his own opinion. He's quoting the Shastra to support this point.
所以说Vishwanath Chakravarti 他并不是在这里发表他自己个人的观点，而他是引用了这个经典当中的话语来说明这一点的。
And then he quotes from another Purana, the Garuda Purana.
然后呢，他接下来就引用了这个 Garuda Purana, Garuda 往事书当中的一段话。
And that says if you're in a helpless condition and somehow you chant the holy name, even if you don't desire to do so, all the reactions of your sinful life depart, just like small animals run away when a lion roars.
所以大家可以看到，在这个《Garuda 往事书》当中的这句话，甚至是一个人在无助的情况下，或者没有想这么去做的情况下，吟诵至尊主圣名的人，其恶报都会离他而去。恰似一头狮子一声大吼，然后所有的小动物都因恐惧而四散逃亡。
It's not mentioned here, but it's mentioned in the Nectar of Devotion that when we enter the temple and we bow down before the Lord, and then the kirtan begins and we clap, that clapping is, when we make the sound of the clap, birds fly away, and those birds.Are sinful reactions.
所以说这个就是在《奉爱的甘露》这本书当中都提到过，就是当我们去到庙里，就是在主的面前， 这个就是去顶拜主、顶拜神像，然后我们开始去唱 Kirtan 的时候，然后跟着这个 Kirtan 的这个音乐来拍鼓掌，就是拍手嘛。然后而这个时候拍跟着这个节奏所拍掌的这个声音的话呢，就会让这些鸟就是四散奔逃，就是会把这些鸟给惊吓到，然后他们就飞走了嘛。而这些鸟的话呢，实际上就是比喻的，就是我们的这个罪恶的业报，罪恶活动所带来的这个反作用力。
And then in the last verse that Vishwanathacharya Thakur quotes in this purport, he quotes from the Skanda Purana, which is one of the oldest Puranas.
然后在这个要旨当中，最后这个部分，Vishwanathacharya 他所引用的这本往事书 Skanda。往事书当中的话呢，它是最古老的往事书当中的一部。
There the verse it says, by once chanting the holy name of the Lord, which consists of the two syllables Ha-Ri, one guarantees his path to liberation.
所以这本往事书当中就说到，人一旦吟唱至尊主，那有哈利这两个音节构成的圣名的话，它的解脱之途就有了保证。
So even after hearing these verses, we may still have some doubt.
就是即便是我们已经听到了这些诗节哈，是这样描述的，但是我们有可能还是会有一些质疑。
Of course, the sixth offense in chanting is that when we hear the glories of the holy name, we think their imagination are not real.
当然我们都知道，就是十相冒犯当中的第六项，就是当我们去听到圣名的这个荣耀的时候，我们并不相信这些描述，认为都是想象。
So it seems very mysterious, very amazing. We really can't understand it. How we can be freed of our sins just by chanting one name, and without chanting purely.
然后因此的话，这实际上听起来是非常令人觉得很神秘的，然后我们都会觉得很惊讶，就是觉得太不可思议了，因为就是仅仅是在这种情况下去念诵一次圣名，然后就一次，然后当然是。就是不带冒犯的话，但是也不是这种纯粹的去念诵圣名次，我们都可以从所有的这个罪行当中解脱出来。
Of course, we don't know, we don't remember all of our sinful activities from previous lifetimes.
当然我们都不记得，就是在前世曾经犯下过的所有的这些罪恶活动。
And even though they're coming to get us, the payment is coming due.We don't see it.
然而即便的话呢，就是这些罪恶活动，他们的这个业报，他们的反作用力的话呢，都已经即将要显现在我们的人生当中了，即将要来，就是来找我们，怎么说，讨债了，但是我们都看不到这些。
And so, even if we are freed from, millions of lifetimes of sinful activities, how would we know it?
就是即便是我们从几百万生世当中的所有罪恶活动当中解脱出来了，但是我们怎么能知道自己是真的是这些罪行都已经彻底被洗干净了呢？
Of course, that's where we have to trust the Guru and the Shastras.
是当然就是在这个时候我们就必须要去信任 Guru 和信任经典了。
And this is one reason, There's the story of Ajamil in the Bhagavatam is to explain to us that look at how sinful and fallen he was, but he was freed.
所以这个就是瓦坛当中阿扎米勒这个故事所要就是告知我们的一个原因哈，其中原因之一就是你可以看到哈，像他这样一个这么罪恶这么堕落的人，然后他只是通过念诵一次圣名，然后就彻底从罪恶活动当中解脱出来了。
And we also may ask the question, well, if I'm freed from all my sinful activities, then why do I still have the tendency to commit sin, even though I'm chanting?
所以说我们甚至也还会问一个问题，就是既然我都已经从所有的这些罪恶活动当中解脱出来了，但为什么我还依然有这样一种倾向，想要去从事罪恶活动，然后即便是我都还在不断的念诵。
One of the effects of sinful reaction is that they cause you to want to perform more sinful reaction.
而罪恶活动所制造出来的后果之一，那就是当你做过一次以后，然后它就会使得你还要想去做的更多。
So logically, we would expect that if I'm actually free from sin, then I won't feel like sinning anymore.
Then I won't feel what?
Like sinning anymore. I won't want to sin anymore.
所以说从逻辑的这个角度上来推论的话呢，我们就可以能够预料到的是，就是如果我从所有的这个罪恶活动当中解脱出来了，那我肯定也就不愿意再继续从事罪恶活动了呀。
Right, that's a logical assumption.
这是一个很有逻辑的一个推理推论，对吧？
Right, if you've been cured from the disease, then you don't have symptoms anymore.
如果你从如果你得到了治愈，然后你的这个疾病已经痊愈了，那么你就肯定不会再有这个疾病的这些症状了，对吧？
Although that's not exactly true.
当然，这种说法的话呢，并不是确切的、准确的。
Just like when you catch the common cold.
这就有点像是当你要是感冒了的话。
The disease is caused by a virus.
而我们知道感冒都是由这个病毒引发的。
In fact, when you get the virus, you catch it from someone else, you don't even know you have the virus.
实际上就是当我们就是从别人那里感染到这个感冒病毒的话哈，在当时感染的那一刻，我们根本都不知道自己被感染了。
Right, somebody coughs around you.
比如有人在你旁边，然后咳嗽。
And the virus gets on your hands.
然后这个他咳嗽咳出来的这个唾沫的话呢，就到达你的这个手掌上。
And you don't wash your hands.
然后你也没有洗手。
And just by mistake, or innocently, you touch your eye, or your nose, or your mouth, the virus enters your body.
然后你在很，就是完全不知晓的这种情况下，然后去用手触摸了你的眼睛、你的鼻子，或者是你的嘴巴，那么这个时候病毒就进入到你的躯体了。
And then two or three days later, you get symptoms.
然后过了两三天以后，这些症状才会显现出来。
You get a sore throat, you start coughing, you get copious amounts of mucus.
比如这个时候你就开始嗓子感到很疼，然后开始咳嗽，然后这个时候开始流鼻涕了。
Now you have the symptoms of a cold.
然后这个时候你就有了这些感冒的这个病症了。
You can't see the virus.
你是看不到这个感冒病毒的。
But you know you're infected because of the symptoms you have.
但是你知道自己感染了这个感冒，因为就是这些所有表现出来的咳嗽啊，然后流鼻涕啊这些症状，你就知道自己被感染了。
So it may take, you know, 3, 4, 5 days for your immune system to actually kill the virus.
所以说可能还要等到3到5天的样子，你的这个身体当中的免疫系统才能够把这些感冒病毒拿来给清除掉。
So even after the virus has been killed and it's no longer infecting your body may continue to have symptoms for another couple of days.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah.
我觉得呢。所以顾尔就说，就是即便是你的这个身体当中的这个免疫系统已经把所有的病毒都拿来给杀死了，但是的话呢，你的身体还是会有接下来的几天的时间，它依然展现出是感冒的这种症状。
Yeah, at that point, you can't infect somebody else. The virus has already been killed.
不过到那个时候的话呢，你是没有办法再去传染给别人的，因为你的所有的这些病毒都已经被杀死了。
But it still takes your body, you know, 2, 3, 4 days, sometimes even longer to recover from the effect of that infection.
但是的话呢，即便是病毒都被杀死了，但是你的身体都还依然需要2到4天，然后甚至是可能更久的时间来从所有的这个症状当中恢复痊愈。
So why is that?
那么为什么会是这样呢？
Why is it that even though we've been freed from offenses, we still have the tendency to sin when we're chanting?
Even though we are free from sins, and we still have a tendency to...
Even though we're freed, I'm sorry, not offenses. Even though we're freed from sinful reactions of our past, why do we still have the tendency, even though we're chanting?
所以说这个问题就出现了，就是即便我们都还在不断的念诵，但是我们都已经就是从所有在曾经犯下的罪恶活动当中所带来的这个反作用力，这些业报，然后解脱出来的。但那为什么我们还继续有这个想要从事罪恶活动的倾向呢？
So these are common sense questions, really.
这实际上这些都是常识性的问题。
And a devotee may doubt the power of the holy name. If he has these questions and doesn't get an answer to them.
而一个奉献者的话呢，如果心里面有这样疑问，但是却一直他的这个疑问都没有得到解答的话，那么他就很有可能会质疑这个圣名的力量。
Now fortunately, the acharyas have written books just on these questions.
然后很幸运的是，就是我们的先辈灵性导师们都针对这些问题的话呢，就写下了不少著作。
Like Jiva Goswami, he has written that at the time of initiation, when one takes shelter of Guru and begins to chant the holy name under the guidance of a Guru, It's true that all of one's past sinful activities are relieved from past lives. But the effects of sinful activities from this life are still there in the mind and the body.
Effects of sinful activities in this life is still in the mind and the body.
Yeah.
所以说其中一位 Acharya 就是 Jiva Goswami， 他所写到就是当一个奉献者，当一个人在启迪的时候，就是他获得启迪嘛，然后他在 Guru 的这个指导之下来念诵圣名，然后那么此时就是他所有在前世所犯下的所有罪恶活动然后都被洗净了，然后但是的话呢，他在今生所从事的罪恶活动所带来的影响却依然还存留在他的躯体和心理当中。
So that's called Parabdha Karma.
Parabdha Karma.
Parabdha.
Parabdha.
Parabdha Karma.
Parabdha Karma. 这个就被叫做 Parabdha Karma, 业报。
Parabdha means now manifest.
而这个 Paradma,
Prabda
然后所以这个 Prabda Karma Prabda 业报的意思就是现在展现出来的意思。
Yeah, so this present physical body and the mental body with all of its impressions from this life, that's still active.
然后所以说我们的这具躯体还有我们的这个就是带有所有的这个这一生世当中所有的这些印象的这个心意的话呢，都还依然是就是在运行着的，就是还在运作着的。
So it takes some time to become purified of that by chanting.
因此的话呢，还需要有些时间来才能够从这个躯体和心意当中进化出来。
So fortunately, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, he wrote a book called Madhurya Kadambini.
所以说很幸运的就是Vishwanath Chakravarti 他写的一本书的话呢叫做 Madhurya Kadambini.
Yeah, it's his autobiography.
而这本书是他的自传。
Well, it just explains the different stages that we go through from the beginning of Shraddha until we reach Prema.
所以他这本书实际上就解释了这个不同我们所经历的不同的阶段，然后从这个最开始的这个 Shraddha 聆听的这个阶段的话呢，一直到最终的这个 Prema 阶段。
And so he explains that, you know, the anartas we have or the obstacles we have, that are created by the karma of this life, they take some time to eradicate.
Eradicate. 所以说他就解释到就是我们内心当中的这些 anarta, 我们内心当中的这些障碍路障的话呢，都是由这一生的业报所创造所制造出来的，所以他们是需要有些时间才能够被彻底消除掉的。
Right, so in this life, we engaged in sinful activities. We ate meat. We gambled. Maybe we even smoked cigarettes. We had illicit sex.
所以说在这一生当中，我们都曾可能进行过罪恶活动，比如说吃肉啊、吸烟啊，甚至是进行这个非法性活动啊等等。
We had dreams of being a rock and roll star.
我们做梦还梦到自己成了一位摇滚明星。
Or so many ideas of how I will become happy.
或者说我们是有着各种各样的许多的这些念头和想法，就是觉得自己哦，只要成为了这样一个人，或者做到了那样件事，我就可以很快乐幸福了。
Right, and so we lament the past and we worry about the future or hope for happiness in the future.
因此的话呢，我们就不断的在悲伤着过去，然后希望着在未来能够实现自己的这个愿望。
Yes, this is the effect of sin.
说这个就是罪恶活动所带来的影响，带来的后果。
It makes it difficult to progress. That's why it's called an anartha.
所以说当我们有了这些念头这些想法的时候的话呢，就会让我们很难在灵性上进步，所以说这就为什么他们被称为叫做 anartha 的意思。
Yeah, so these sinful tendencies, they begin to become eradicated at the level of bhajana kriya.
Bhajana kriya.Bhajana Kriya. 所以说这些罪恶的倾向的话呢，就会在我们进入到这个 Bhajana Kriya 的这个阶段的时候就得到消除。
Right, we take shelter of a guru.
我们在 guru 那里得到庇护，脱庇。
He tells us you have to chant so many rounds a day and you have to give up, you know, the four sinful acts.
所以说 guru 告诉我们就必须要每天念诵这么多圈的这个圣名，必须要放弃这四项罪恶活动。
And so in the beginning that may be difficult.
而这最开始的阶段的话呢，这可能会是很困难的。
And some devotees, they struggle most of their life.
甚至有些奉献者可能整个一生都是在挣扎着，就是在做到 guru 的这个要求的。
But when you no longer believe in your mind,
但是当你已经不再去相信你的这个心意的时候，
and you're able to control your senses,
你能够去控制你的感官，
then you've come to the stage of nishtha bhakti or steady bhakti.
然后这个时候你就到达了 nishtha bhakti 的这个阶段，也就是稳定的这个阶段了。
So that's the proof that you're freed.Of your prarabdha karma.
而这个时候，这就是一个证据，证明你从这个 prarabdha karma 这个已经展现出来的业报当中解脱出来了。
Yeah, so even though you still have the mind and the body, and it goes through whatever it has to go through, you're not affected by it anymore.
只有见这个时候，依然这具，你还有这具躯体和这个心意，然后你的躯体和心意还必须要去经历他们必须要经历的，但是你现在已经不再受到你的躯体和心意的打扰和影响了。
So there's four types of anarthas or obstacles.
所以说有四种类型的 anartha 然后四种类型的这个障碍。
Or four sources of obstacles.
哦，或者说是制造出这四种障碍的这个四个源头是什么？
So one of those is our past sinful actions.
嗯 ，past sinful action 哈。
Yeah, and reactions.
哦 ，OK， 所以说其中之一的话呢，就是我们在过去曾经从事的罪恶活动，以及从事这些罪恶活动所带来的反作用力。
Right, if you had lots of illicit sex, it may be hard for you to become free of that tendency.
嗯，所以如果一个人要是曾经进行过很多这种非法性行为的话，那么就是他可能现在就会感到很难能够就是停止这个去从事罪恶性行为的这种倾向。
Same with meat eating or gambling or intoxication.
嗯，然后这个同样也是，就是如果一个人要是吃过很多肉啊，或者是从事过很多赌博行为啊，或者是服用过很多麻醉品啊的，都是很难去停止，不再去从事，不再有这方面的这个罪恶倾向的。
But you can say you're free when you no longer desire those things.
嗯，但是的话呢，当你已经不再去期望进行这些活动的时候，那你就可以说你已经从这些事情当中解脱出来了。
That's a sign of Nishtha Bhakti.
嗯，而这个就是 Nishtha Bhakti 的这样一个迹象。
Yeah, so our material conditioning from our past sinful actions, that's one source of anartha.
嗯，因此的话呢，我们的这些物质受到物质世界的这些影响，也就是曾经所从事的这些罪恶活动的话呢，那就是导致我们内心 anartha 这些障碍的源头之一。
Now the others, or offenses to the holy name.
嗯，然后而其他的这些对圣名所带来的这些这个冒犯的话呢，有
offenses in deity worship.
嗯，那就是在这个神像崇拜当中所犯下的冒犯。
And then the pious results from.That we get from performing bhakti.
Oh, pious results from performing bhakti. 然后以及就是我们在进行奉爱活动所带来的虔诚的结果。
Yeah, sometimes devotees become famous.
有些时候，有些奉献者会变得很出名。
Or they become leaders and have followers.
嗯，或者是他们成为领导者，然后他们有很多的追随者。
Or they take sannyas, and suddenly everyone respects them because they're wearing orange.
嗯，然后他们就是成为这个 sannyasi， 然后开始穿这个橘黄色的衣服，然后每个人都对他们顶拜。
Yeah. So how do you react to that?
而你是怎样对此做出反应的呢？
Right. Do you become proud?
你会心生这种傲慢之情吗？
Do you become attached to being, getting, adored by others?
然后你会很执念于就是别人对你的这种崇拜和崇敬之情吗？
Yeah, so sometimes, you know, leaders become attached to, you know, buildings and to money and to followers and become crazy again.
嗯哼，就是在有些时候的话呢，有些这种就是领导会对于这种他们所拥有的房子啊，拥有的这些金钱呢、啊，还有拥有的这些追随者的话呢，就是心生这种执念之情。
So anyway, these are all obstacles to pure bhakti.
嗯，所以总之的话呢，这些都是就是获得到达纯粹 bhakti 的道路上的障碍。
And their symptoms become eradicated at different stages of bhakti.
哦，然后而在不同的这个 Bhakti 的阶段的话呢，就是不同的这种症状，就它所带来的这些影响就被消除掉了。
So the reactions, you know, to our conditioned life become eradicated when we become steady.
嗯，become steady. You mean the reaction to our conditioned life, gets eradicated. 因此的话呢，就是我们在受到这个物质世界的影响， 然后我们的这个人生当中所遭受的这些反作用力的话，这些影响的话呢，就会在我们消除掉了。
Right, I used to eat meat. I don't care about that anymore. I used to have illicit sex. I don't care about sex anymore. I used to gamble. I don't care about gambling anymore.
对，所以说如果就再举这个例子，就是比如我曾经去服用很多麻醉品啊，但是现在我已经完全不在意这些麻醉品，这些酒啊香烟啊什么的。然后我曾经就是吃很多肉，然后但现在我完全对吃肉这件事情一点都不在意了。然后或者我曾经就是从事很多非法性行为，但是我现在完全不在意这些非法性行为了。
I was a rock and roll star and everyone worshipped me and I was attached to that.
我曾经是个摇滚巨星，然后所有人都崇拜我，然后所有人都尊敬我。
But I don't care about that anymore.
但是现在呢，我已经完全不在意别人是不是崇拜我了。
So,Here's the reason that even though we're free from our past sins, we still have a tendency to sin.
Here is a reason, huh?
Yeah, this is a reason that Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur gives.
说这个就是 Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur 他所给到的这个理由，而这个理由就这个原因就来解释到，就是为什么我们即便已经从过去的这些罪恶活动当中解脱出来了，但为什么我们依然还有要去从事罪恶活动的这些倾向。
This he writes in the Madhurya Kadambini.
他就在这个 Madhurya Kadambini 当中写到了这一点。
He says the holy name.Being unhappy with offenses made against it does not manifest its full power in the offender.
Being unhappy.
So previously we chanted the holy name with offenses, and the holy name didn't like that.
Okay. So the holy name cannot manifest the full power.
Doesn't want to.
Okay, doesn't want to. 所以说在这个书当中的话呢，他就写到，就是当我们最开始在念诵圣名的时候，我们这个念诵是不纯粹的，有很多很多的冒犯，而圣名的话呢，他是不喜欢，就是对我们所犯下的这些冒犯是感到不高兴的，因此他是不愿意在我们面前展示出圣名的所有的力量的。
Remember, the holy name is a person.
大家要记住一点，那就是圣名可是一个人哦。
If somebody offends you, even if they say they're sorry, it may take you some time to trust them again.
所以说，如果要是有个人冒犯了你，那么即便人家都道歉了，你是不是可能还是会过上一段时间，你才能原谅这个人，对吧
？So sometimes.You know, we make offenses and we lose the mercy of the name.
所以说有些时候我们就是犯下了一些冒犯，然后我们就会失去这个圣名的一些仁慈。
Just like maybe a worker at the company offends the boss.
这就有点像是公司里的员工冒犯了他的老板。
So for some time, the boss may neglect.This worker.
所以说可能在某一段时间内，然后这个老板，然后他就会去忽略掉，就是故意的忽视这个冒犯了他的员工。
Right, the worker asks for a raise, and the boss says no. I'll give you less.
然后这个员工他说他要求加薪，但是由于他就是让这个管理者很不高兴嘛，然后于是这个老板就不给他加薪，反而还给他减薪了。
Now, if this worker becomes humble and admits that he offended the boss, and he patiently serves the boss anyway.
而如果这个员工他是非常谦卑的去承认他所犯下的这个错误，然后承认他对这个老板所这个做出的冒犯，并且非常有耐心的去继续服务这家公司的话。
Eventually, that servant will get the mercy of the boss again.
那么最终的话呢，这个员工又会再次的获得他的老板的青睐的。
So in the same way, we've made many offenses to the Holy Name.
所以是同样的，我们也对圣名犯下了许多许多的冒犯。
Maybe we're not making the offenses anymore.
有可能我们再也不会去犯下这些冒犯了。
But the effect is still there.
但是的话呢，这些影响却依然还在那儿。
But gradually, by the power of the Holy Name, our evil tendencies will become eradicated.
而逐渐的通过圣名的力量，我们这些邪恶的，然后罪恶的倾向的话呢，就会得以消除掉。
So, this is the, you can say this is one of the mysterious aspects of chanting, is even chanting offense, chanting not purely.Has a lot of power.
平安文章说，这实际上就是说到的是圣名的念诵的非常神秘的一面哈，就是它非常具有神秘力量的一面。就是即便是一个人是不纯粹的念诵，那么这个念诵都是非常强大的。
Right, we become freed of our past sinful activities, even though we may not be aware of it.
我们从过去生世当中所犯下的罪恶活动当中都解脱出来了，即便我们自己都没有察觉到。
But then gradually, we make progress.
但是渐渐的我们就能够取得进步。
If we remain humble, faithful, and steady chanters.
Chanters.
Yeah.
Remain humble, steady, and faithful. 所以说，只要我们能够一直就是保持这种谦卑的、稳定的、充满信心、信念的这样一种心态来念诵的话，那么最终我们就会取得进步。
Humble means, you know, that I at least I used to commit offense, and if I still am, I'm trying my best to avoid it.
Gentle. 主要，而这个谦卑的意思就是，我虽然说曾经是就是犯下过很多罪恶活动，而我现在可能还在继续，但是的话呢，我尽自己最大努力来避免再次犯下这些罪恶活动。
And we understand, we don't expect the Holy Name to reveal Himself to us, and until He can fully trust us.
Fully trust us. 而我们并且理解这一点，就是我们并不会去期望、期待主，就是在通过他的圣名，就是展现、揭示给我们，就是他的这个样子。然后，因为我们完全，就是我们完全能够耐心的去等待，就是等到这个圣名完全的信任我们的时候，然后他才来展示给我们。
And at the same time, we can practically.See our progress in chanting.
而同时的话呢，我们可以实际的看到自己在念诵当中所取得的进步。
And what is that?
而我们在念诵当中取得的实际的进步是什么呢？
Well, we have to actually observe ourselves.
那就是我们必须要真的去观察自己。
We have to check something.
要去进行一些检查。
Yeah. Due to long-term association, our mind has been absorbed in material things and it's contaminated.
由于我们长时间的与这些物质当中的这些事物就是长时间的接触，因此的话呢，我们的心意实际上是非常被污染的。
Right. So we're going through the clearing stage.
因此我们现在正在经历着这样一个就是被清除这些污染的这个阶段。
And so the two symptoms of material existence are being lost in the mind and hankering for the future, for happiness, and lamenting what didn't bring happiness in the past.
因此的话呢，就是这个物质存在的两大症状， 那就是完全的迷失在心灵当中。那展现为这两个症状就是悲伤自己曾经的这些遭遇，然后非常满怀期待的期望能够在未来得到什么东西。
So Prabhupada, when he was asked, you know, how do I know if I'm making an advancement in devotional service, he would say, this is what you have to check.
所以说曾经就是有人问过帕帕这个问题，就是我怎么样才能知道自己在奉爱服务当中取得自己是不是在这两方面是有任何进展的。
He says, material existence means to always hanker and lament.
所以他就说到物质存在的话呢，就是意味着总是在渴求，总是在悲伤。
And then he goes on to say, he gives examples.
然后他继续就说到，继续的给到一些例子。
I must have a new car.
我必须要有一辆新的小轿车。
I must have more money.
我必须要有更多的钱。
Of course, that's all right, you know. It's okay to want a job or more money.
当然就是要有一份新的工作呀，或者是要有更多的钱啊，这是很 OK, 没有问题的。
But, you know, we can't be attached or obsessed with these things.
但是的话呢，我们并不应该就是非常执迷于这些事情，执念于这些事情，完全是痴迷的这种状态，就是不对劲了。
And he goes on, I must have a good wife, you know, or in the case of a girl, I must have a good husband.
所以说可能就会有些人就会说我必须要有一个好的妻子，然后或者对于女孩子来说的话呢，就是我必须要有个好的丈夫。
Or maybe we have a wife or a husband.
或者我们本来已经有一个丈夫或者妻子了。
But we're thinking I want a better one.
然后我们却在想着我要找个更好的老公，更好的老婆才行。
That means you're still caught.
而当你有这些想法的时候，实际上就说明你还依然困陷在这个心意、这些认同当中的。
So Prabhupada says, I must have this, I must have that.
所以帕帕当时就给那些奉献者解释到嘛，就是我必须要有这个，必须要有那个。
And then when I have the thing, I lament. Oh, I lost my wife.
I lost my wife.
My wife left me, you know.
然后结果当最后真的这些想法愿望实现的时候，然后这个时候又会开始悲伤了。哎呀，我的妻子又离开我了。
Oh, I lost my money.
或者是我的钱又没了。
Oh, I lost my car.
然后我的车子也没了。
Simply lamenting.
然后完全就是这样去悲伤这些事情。
So in the second stage of chanting, we become freed from this kind of anxiety.
因此在念诵的第二阶段的话呢，我们就会从所有的这些焦虑当中解脱出来。
In other words, we live in the present, we live in the truth of the self, and we don't live in the mind anymore.
所以换言之的话呢，那就是我们活在当下的这一刻，活在关于自我的这个真相当中，而没有再继续活在这个心意的世界里面。
So this kind of chanting, even though it's not pure, it's the highest stage of namabhas.
Even though it's not pure, it's the highest stage
of namabhas. It's the stage before pure chanting.
Pure chanting. Okay. I see, namabhas. 所以说，而这种类型的念诵的话呢，虽然说它不是纯粹的，但是的话呢，它却是 namabhas 当中最高的一个阶段。然后换言之，也就是你在能够获得纯粹的念诵的阶段之前的最后一个阶段。
Yeah, one who always chants.
Yeah.
No matter what, you know. One who doesn't give up the chanting, and one who does his best to avoid the 10 offenses, he's chanting in what is called Shraddha Namabhas.
Shraddha Namabhas, yeah.
And this quickly leads to Sudanam, pure chanting.
Sudanam. Right? Sudanam.
Yes, pure chanting.
Sudanam, OK. 所以说一个人，如果一个人能够一直念诵，无论发生任何事情都能一直坚持念诵下去，绝不放弃，然后并且他尽自己最大努力来避免犯下十项冒犯，那么这个时候的话呢，他就从这个 Sudanam Bas 这个念诵的阶段就很快的进入到了这个 Sudanam 这个纯粹的念诵阶段。
So the Yamadutta and the Vishnudutas are making this important point to the Yamadutas.
因此在这个师节当中 ,Vishnudutta 就对 Yamadutta 谈到了这很重要的一点。
They're explaining the power of Namabhas.
他们就解释到了这个 Namabhas 的这个强大的力量。
Which seems almost unbelievable.
然后而这个 Namabhas 的强大的力量的话呢看起来几乎是不可能的。
And I can just see the Yamadutas' faces, they are like completely surprised.
然后我当时我读到这个诗节我都会可以想象出来 Yamadutta 他们那个脸上的表情哈都是那种很吃惊的完全合不拢嘴的那种吃惊的样子。
Yes, Ajamil, he wasn't chanting intentionally.He wasn't chanting purely, yet all of his sinful reactions have been forgiven. Amazing.
所以说阿扎米勒他完全不是带有这个念诵圣名的企图意图来念诵的，他也完全是这种不纯粹的状态来念诵的。然而的话，他所有的这些罪恶活动都被原谅了，都被净化了。所以这真的是令人觉得不可思议的，非常神奇的一件事儿。
So, if this is the case for Ajamil, then what to speak of someone who's chanting intentionally, doing their best to avoid the ten offenses? What is their position?
所以说如果这个对阿扎米勒来说都是这个样子的话，那我们想象一下对于一个非常带有这个念诵圣名的这个企图这个目的来去念诵的这样一个奉献者来说，然后尽自己最大努力来去避免十项冒犯的这个奉献者来说，那么他又会处于一种什么样的位置当中呢？
Just humbly, persistently chanting with an expectation of someday receiving the mercy of the Lord.
Without the expectation, huh?
Oh, well, having the expectation that someday I will receive the mercy of the Lord, but being willing to wait for whenever that day is.
Oh, be willing to wait. Oh, so, so with the expectation, someday we'll receive the mercy. Okay, I see. 所以说大家想象一下这样一个奉献者哈，就是他非常谦卑的，然后并且是持之以恒绝不放弃的去念诵，并且他带着这种期望，就是将来有一天然后会得到这个主的仁慈，但是他是完全愿意去等待，完全不着急这种，然后不是说去强迫圣灵强迫主给他仁慈，而是完全耐心的去等待这样的一个处于这种念诵状态的奉献者。
But that means we are doing our best to avoid the ten offenses. First, we know what they are, and we're doing our best to avoid them.
所以这就意味着首先我们要知道这个十项冒犯是什么，然后并且其次我们就是尽自己最大努力来避免这十项冒犯。
That means when we chant, we are watering our devotional creeper. We're not watering the weeds of, you know, material desire.
所以这就意味着当我们念诵的时候是在给自己的奉爱小树苗浇水的，而不是在给内心当中那些物质欲望的这些杂草，在这些杂草上面通过念诵来浇水的。
Okay, I'll stop talking now. I think we have questions from last week and maybe even from this week.
Oh, okay. 我们来看一下是上个星期有没有回答的问题呢？我们现在就来回答问题了哈。Okay.Oh, yeah, there are questions from last week. Oh, there are quite some questions from. Hmm. Well, there are some questions. Did I really translate this question?
You mean some of them we may have already answered?
Some record is talking about, mentioned Dalakili Mataji's name, so I'm not sure if this is from last week or actually it's from previous time.
No.
Oh, so I'm a bit confused. Let me ask. Sumuki Mataji, 我在看这个之前的这些聊天记录哈，然后这个就是能不能上个星期剩余的问题是哪些呢？我看到其中提到达拉基里马哈基名字了，我不知道这个是不是以原来的那些聊天记录，然后怕有些问题是咕噜已经回答了的。要不你再报。
之前的我们这个对话框里边有一些是以往的，不是上周的。所以
那我就
先从今天的开始吧，好吗？
好的，行，那我就从今天的开始了啊。Okay, so she says, let's start from with today's thing, yeah.
Okay.
Okay, 我们来看一下啊，今天大家问的问题，第一个的话呢是，今天的要旨里只说读圣名就已经在解脱之途上了，可是怕说最少16圈，为什么呢？今天你拿今天你那里实际上不是咕噜那边的鸟，是我这边的这些鸟叫声哈，然后很响亮，是因为你的讲课感染他们吗？如果鹦鹉也学着念 Hare Krishna， 它是不是也可以成为奉献者呢？期待您的解答。So this devotee is asking that today in the purport, it says that as long as a person chants the holy name, then the person is already on the path of liberation. But then why does Prabhupada says at least that we should chant 16 rounds? Why is that?
Well, he thought that for Westerners, it's difficult to chant any more than that.
然后因为帕当时说到16圈，就是因为考虑到当时对于那些西方奉献者来说的话呢，要念诵多于16圈的话呢会是很困难的。
So ideally we should always chant.
所以理想情况下我们应该一直念诵。
But for Westerners, they're very restless.
但是对于西方人来说的话呢，就是他们一直都是那种处于坐立不安的那种状态。
And we may not have a taste for chanting for many, many years.
有可能就是有很多很多年的时间的话呢，都无法对这个念诵生发起任何的品味。
So, it takes about 2 hours to chant 16 rounds.
所以正常情况下一般都是需要花两个小时来念诵16圈。
And there are 24 hours in a day.
然后一天有24小时。
And most people have to spend 8 hours working or going to school and 8 hours sleeping.
所以大多数人的话呢都是得花8个小时上班，然后8个小时睡觉。
Especially if you're a householder.
然后特别是对于居士来说。
So 2 hours is about 10% of the day.
而两个小时的话呢，基本上就是一天当中10%的时间。
So it was a reasonable request.
所以这实际上是一个非常合理的一个要求。
But at the same time, quite difficult for Westerners.
但同时的话呢，就这样一个合理的要求，对于当时的西方人来说，都是很要求非常挑战的。
So.The purpose of the chanting, of course, is to engage the mind in the vibration of Krishna's name.
Engage the mind in the vibration. 所以说念诵的目的的话呢，实际上就是为了让心意进入到这样一个五正明的这样一个震动当中。
And we just read about the power of the chanting of the holy name.
而我们刚刚已经读到了这个念诵圣名的力量是什么。
So if one can chant consistently 2 hours a day, that's quite an accomplishment in the Kali Yuga.
所以说因此一个人如果能够持之以恒的每天花两个小时来练诵的话，那么这个在卡利年代哈，可以说真的是取得了一项壮举。
So it's the mission of the Acharya, to find the ways and the means according to the time, place, and circumstances of the people that he's trying to rescue.
所以说这个对于就是对于Acharya 先辈灵性导师来说，这就是他们的使命。他们的使命就是必须要针对他们当时想当他们当时想要去拯救的这些广大的这些人民群众哈，广大的这些人类的话呢，帮他们找到恰当的方式方法来拯救他们，就根据当时的时代、当时的地点以及当时的这个情况。
And so it's the duty of the liberated soul.To rescue the conditioned soul.
因此就是已经解脱了的灵魂，他们的职责就必须要去拯救这些还受到物质世界影响的这些灵魂。
And so whatever the pure devotee decides, Krishna accepts.
所以说因此无论纯粹的奉献者做出怎样的一个决定。那么 Krishna 都完全接受纯粹的奉献者做出的这个决定。
So Prabhupada decided that we should chant 16 rounds, and Krishna accepts that, and that's how we're able to perform pure bhakti or devotional service to Krishna. We can actually please him by pleasing Prabhupada.
所以说当时帕就做出这样一个决定，就是让我们念诵十六圈，而 Krishna 就接受了帕的做出的这个决定，而这就是我们为什么能够通过去取悦帕德，从而能够最终通过纯粹的奉爱来取悦主 Krishna。
So that's the main reason that chanting 16 rounds is so important and so effective, because Prabhupada and Krishna have agreed.
所以这就是为什么念诵十六圈会是如此的强大有力，这就是因为当初帕做出的这个决定是 Krishna 同意了的。
And ultimately, when the Krishna is pleased, then he reveals himself, and only when he's pleased.
而最终的话呢，就是必须要等到 Krishna 是被我们取悦了的，而就只能是等到 Krishna 被我们取悦了的才可以。
So we have to do what pleases him, and chanting 16 rounds pleases him.
所以这就是为什么我们必须要去做能够取悦 Krishna 的事儿，也就是为什么要去练诵16圈才能最终让 Krishna 高兴。
So that should be our meditation when we chant, that I'm doing this to please Prabhupada and Krishna.
所以这就是我们在练诵的时候所进行的冥想的。就必须要是这样子的，就是我念诵是为了取悦帕，是为了取悦主 Krishna， 以这样的一种心态来念诵。
So why do we chant 16 rounds？
所以说我们为什么要念诵十六圈呢
？Because that's what they asked us to do. That's all.
因为这就是他们要求我们所做到的，就仅此而已。
Thank you for your question.
谢谢你的问题。So the same person is asking another one. I think she heard the birds singing, and she saw that it's the birds from your side. So she's saying that, oh, it's because that your teaching has also affected those birds. That's why they are so loud. And she's asking that if a parrot can also chant Hare Krishna, so will this parrot also can become a devotee?
Yes, anyone who has contact with Krishna, you know, is infected by the bhakti virus.
Infected by the bhakti virus. Oh, I see. 所以说，你问到的这个问题就是，如果鹦鹉也学着念 Hare Krishna， 是不是也可以成为奉献者？然后 Guru 就说，确实是可以的，因为任何一个接触到 Krishna 的一个人，然后都被这个 Bhakti 的这个病毒拿来给感染了，这是一个开玩笑的一种说法哈，一种比喻，就是你被 Bhakti 都会给感染了的。
So that means they're on the path of liberation.
那么这就意味着这样的一个生物体就走在了解脱之路的道，解脱的这个道路上了。
Okay.
Okay. Next one.
Uh-huh.
OK， 小小的仆人图图问，顶拜亲爱的咕噜，阿加米勒不纯粹但是没有冒犯的念诵主的圣名，如何界定这种没有冒犯是没有目的专注？So this Mataji is asking, you know, she's offering her obeisance unto you, that Ajamil chant the holy name without offenses, but it's not pure. Then how to define without offenses, you know, like this type of no offense? Is it because he has no intention or because that he's focusing?
Yeah, he wasn't trying to become freed of his sinful reactions by chanting.
这是在说就是阿加米勒并不是试图通过念诵主的圣名来让自己从罪恶活动当中解脱出来的。
Therefore, it was considered offensive.
因此的话呢就被认为他的念诵是没有冒犯的。
Yet, it wasn't pure. He wasn't chanting in awakened consciousness.
然而的话呢他的这种念诵也并不是纯粹的，因为他并不是以一种觉醒的状态来念诵圣名的。
Yeah, so, but still, the power, he contacted some power of the holy name.
但是然而他依然还是接触到了圣名的一些力量的。
Even a dim reflection is very powerful.
即便是圣明的这个光芒就这么一丁点很微弱的照耀在他当时的身上，这个圣明这个一丁点的光芒都是非常强大的。
Yeah, you could say that this chapter is not about the glories of pure chanting, it's about the glories of impure chanting.
所以说可以真的说这个圣典博加瓦坛当中的这个章节的话呢，真的不是关于纯粹的念诵圣名所带来的荣耀，而是不纯粹的念诵，不纯粹的圣名念诵所带来的荣耀。OK?
Yeah.
OK, next one. 我们再来看下一个问题。然后一样的也是小小的仆人图图说的，顶拜亲爱的古鲁，内心的不洁是如此难以清除，除了受过往罪恶活动的影响，是不是因为我们总是受心意和假我的操控而不能带着知觉临在当下呢？ So this Mataji is asking that it's so difficult to eradicate the anartha. Not only because we are affected by the past sinful reactions, but also is because we are under the control of the mind and the false ego, and we cannot bring the consciousness to the present moment.
Well, yes, you know, our past sinful activities, they have a certain momentum.
我们在过去曾从事的罪恶活动都还依然带有一定的这个动量。
Like a fan that's plugged in.
这就有点像是当一个电风扇就是被插上电的时候。
Even after you unplug it, the fan keeps turning.
即便是你现在不用这个电风扇，你把这个插头拿给拔掉了，但是这个电风扇还是依然会转一会儿，对吧？
Because the momentum is there.
因为这个动量还依然存在于那儿。
So when we take shelter of Guru and we follow his teaching, then we've unplugged the fan, but the momentum is still there.
所以说即使我们已经脱离于古鲁，我们完全去遵循古鲁的这个教导，然后古鲁的这个训示，但是的话呢就是这个相当于你把插头已经拔出掉了，但是这个时候这个风扇的这个动量还是依然存在于那儿的。
Because we're following the four regulated principles.
因为我们在遵循这四项规范原则。
And we're trying to be present for Krishna when we chant.
并且我们努力在念诵的时候能够为 Krishna 而临在。
And so we have to learn from our guru, you know, how to master our mind and become more established in the present.
而我们就必须要从 guru 那里学到，就是怎么样能够成为心意的主人，心意和感官的主人，怎么样能够让自己人处于当下此刻的知觉状态中。
So eventually one has to come to the point that one sees that, you know, there's only two worlds. There's the world of illusion and the world of the present. Which one am I going to choose?
所以说逐渐的就是我们能够到达这样一个点，就是我们能够看到这实际上是只有两个世界，一个世界是虚幻的世界，而另一个世界是真实的当下此刻的世界，而在这个两个世界当中我选择哪一个呢？
Then one becomes very determined to live in the present, to live in the truth.
然后这个时候一个人才能够非常有决心的想要去活在当下此刻的这个真实世界当中。
Yeah, so when we get tired of suffering, then we're ready to, you know, make that choice. But we have to make the choice. No one can make it for us.
因此当我们非常就是厌倦于这个所遭受的痛苦，就是已经对自己遭受的所有的这些痛苦感到疲倦的时候，那么我们就能够做出这样的选择了。但是的话，也就只有我们自己能做出这个选择，没有其他任何人可以替我们做出这个选择的。
So the suffering that the mind causes brings us to that point of finally surrendering.
The suffering that is caused by the mind brings us to the point of the surrendering, right?
Yeah.
Okay. 所以说因此就是由我们的心意所制造出来的所有的这些苦难，这些痛苦，就是为了把我们最终引领到这个点，能够引领到让我们能够真正的愿意臣服。
And then when Krishna sees that we're ready to actually make that choice, then he gives us guidance from within and from without.
而当 Krishna 看到我们已经做好了准备，能够做出这样的一个选择，就是愿意去选择当下此刻的真实的世界，而不是轻易的虚幻世界的时候，那么他就会在我们的内心当中，以及在我们的外在环境当中来给予我们指导。
It's really not so hard to be present. It's just a choice.
所以说真的是要让我们去在当下此刻临在，为 Krishna 而临在，并不是那么困难的，它只是一个选择而已。
And as human beings, we have the freedom, actually, to make that choice.
而作为人类的话，我们是有自由能够做出这个选择的。
But in the beginning, we may need to be shown the way.
但是可能在最开始的话，我们必须就是要有人能够给我们展示出来这条路。
But there's only two possibilities.
然而这世界上实际上只有两种可能性。
We're either present and living in the reality of life.
我们要不然就是临在此刻，活在生命的真相当中。
Or we're lost in the illusory world of the mind.
然后要不然就是完全迷失在心意的虚幻世界里。
And when we present, we're aware of our life as consciousness in this moment.
而当我们临在的时候，就能够觉知到自己此刻作为知觉的临在的存在。
Then the illusion of separation dissolves.
而这个时候我们感到自己与主相分离，与众生相分离的这种幻觉就完全被溶解掉了。
And we're aware of ourselves as the silent witness.
然后这个时候我们就能觉知到自己是作为一个沉默安静的一个观察者的存在的。
And we feel connected to the source of life.
就能够感受到自己与生命的源头是相连接的。
When we're in the mind,
而当我们活在心意当中的时候，
we've abandoned the real life.In the present.
然后就放弃了当下此刻的真实的生命。
And we're somewhere in the past or in the future.
然后而是活在过去的或者是未来的某一个时刻当中。
And we're not here now.
反正就是没有在当下的这一刻。
So what we're experiencing is not real.
因此我们这个时候所体验经历到的就并不是真实的。
So using our mind, using the thoughts and memories and imaginations, we create our own world of illusion, and then we're forced to live there.
所以我们运用自己的心意，制造出了纷繁的这些念头、记忆，还有想象，然后也就创造出一整个这个虚幻的世界，来让自己活在这其中。
So eventually, the soul comes to the point where it gets tired of this and wants to really...wants to seriously wake up.
所以说最终的话呢，灵魂就会到达这样一个点，就是真的彻底厌倦了这一切了，就真的是开始非常严肃认真的想要从这个当中觉醒开来。
So when you really want to wake up, it's not that hard.
因此当你真的想要觉醒的时候，它是并不是那么困难的。
Even though the momentum is still there within the mind and the body.
然后即使这个时候你的心意和躯体当中还依然有这些动量。
OK.
OK, next one. 我们来看下一个问题。这个凤爱的风帆非凡是问的问题，非凡。顶拜咕噜和翻顶拜咕噜，请问早晨七点前念诵十六圈还没有完成，要聆听 YY 课程，请问念诵的同时聆听经典是一种冒犯吗？谢谢。So this devotee is asking that in the morning, he hasn't still finished the 16 rounds, and then he also has to listen to the YY class. So chanting and while at the same time also listening to the scripture, listening to guru speaking, is this also a kind of offense?
Yes, it's inattentive chanting.
是的，确实是一种冒犯，因为它是一种不专注的念诵。
Yeah, when you chant, you just be present as possible and hear and be aware of your life now.
所以当你念诵的时候，你就觉知到当下此刻你的生命。
Don't try and multitask.
不要试图想要在念诵的时候还去做到其他的事情，就是不要这种三心二意，就是同时要几件事情都做到。Yeah, I think he wants to finish, you know, both the chanting and also listening, finish the chanting before 7 a.m. and also listen to the scripture.
Well, it's important to have the devotee sangha, and that will support your chanting. So chant the rest of your rounds at another time.
所以说有这个奉献者的联谊的话呢，确实是很重要的，可以帮到你的这个念诵。所以说你可以把就是剩下的这些圈数的话呢，在一天当中的其他时间来练完。OK 我们来看下一个问题。Hare Krishna 的仆人问的这个问题，感恩咕噜的精彩讲课，听了您今天的讲课，对念诵圣名的重要性有了进一步的理解，相信圣名的力量。阿加米勒无意识的念诵就有如此的力量，但是在日常的念诵时很难做到纯粹的念诵，常常是冒犯的念诵。我现在好像有一些渴望能够无意识的念诵，还可以减少对圣名的冒犯，这种想法对吗？无意识的念诵是不是就是什么都不想？So this devotee is asking that after hearing your today's class, I have a further understanding about the importance of chanting the holy name and, you know, understand, believing more in the power of the holy name. And when Ajamil chanted the holy name unconsciously, and he could already receive such power. But during my chanting, you know, daily chanting, it's very difficult for me to do the pure chanting, and usually it's the chanting with offenses. So now these days, now I seem to have some desire for unconscious chanting, and maybe in this way I can reduce the offenses to the holy name. Is such a thought correct?Is unconscious chanting is like you don't think about anything, just chant?
No, that's a step backwards.
实际上你无意识的念诵的话反而是往后退了一步。
So we already are doing unconscious chanting like Ajamil.
我们实际上本身已经是像阿加米勒那样就是无意识的念诵了。
And we are already free from our past sins, just like Ajamil.
然后我们也像阿加米勒那样，就是已经从过去生世当中所做出的罪恶活动当中解脱出来了。
Yeah, so we want to go. Progress means we're moving from unconscious chanting to conscious chanting.
而我们想要在奉爱道路当中，想要在念诵当中取得进步的话，而这个进步就意味着从这个无意识的念诵走到这个有意识的念诵。
And so the way we do that is by following the steps of the Acharyas.
嗯，而要去达到这种无意识，或者叫做而要到达这种有意识的，或者叫做有觉知的念诵的话呢，我们就必须要去追随先辈灵性导师的脚步。
Yeah, so you know, when we think of being present for 16 rounds, that seems like an unsurmountable task.
嗯，所以当我们想到就是要有16圈的这个时间。要在十六圈的练诵当中都为这个圣名而临在的话，我们会觉得这是根本做不到的一个任务。
It's like trying to suddenly reach the top of Mount Everest.
嗯，这就感觉像是我们立刻就要爬上这个珠穆朗玛峰一样的那种感觉。
So just try and be present for 3 mantras.
嗯，所以说我们就努力的让自己能够在三个曼陀罗。的念诵当中能够为主 Krishna 而临在
and do that for one round.
然后就以这样的方式来让一圈你就能够有每三个曼陀罗这样临在每三个曼陀罗这样临在就这样来念诵一圈
and just chant your 16 rounds 3 mantras at a time.
嗯，然后就以这样的方式再来练诵16圈的话那每三个曼陀罗让自己为 Krishna 而临在就以这样的方式来练诵16圈
And if you chant like that there'll be a quite you know quite a few mantras where you're actually just hearing the holy name and not thinking about anything else
就是当你以这样的方式来练诵的时候那么就会有好些这个曼陀罗在你在练诵的时候你是什么都没有想而是完全去专注的听到这个曼陀罗的声音的
Yeah, and just assuming that you're not offending devotees and other living entities you'll be chanting many of your mantras will be sudanam and eventually it has an effect
Sudanam is pure chanting, 哈。
Yeah.
嗯，所以说，假如说就是你并没有冒犯到其他的奉献者，也没有冒犯到其他的生物体的话，那么可以说，当你以每三个曼陀罗的方式来念诵你的十六圈的时候，那这当中会有好些曼陀罗是完全的处于这种 Sudanam 这种念诵，也就是纯粹的念诵的，那么最终就会给你带来极大的这样一个力量，极大的影响。
Yeah, so main thing.For us is to avoid offending devotees and other people with our thoughts, words, and mind, with our mind, words, and actions.
嗯，所以说我们最主要的一点就是在念，就是要让自己避免去冒犯其他奉献者，然后避免冒犯其他的生物体，就是通过我们的这个心意，通过我们的言语和通过我们的行为，冒犯到其他的生物体和其他的奉献者。
Yeah, so even when we're not chanting, we choose to be humble, we choose to be tolerant, we choose to be respectful, and we choose to not need respect from others.
嗯，因此即便是在我们没有念诵的时候，我们也做出选择来让自己保持谦卑的心态，来让自己保持容忍的心态，来让自己对别人表示敬意，并且的话呢，也完全不需要从别人那里获得任何的尊敬。
And while we chant, we peacefully try and be present for 3 rounds, I mean for 3 mantras as we chant one round.
嗯，然后在我们念诵的时候，再让自己平和的，就是在念诵的过程当中，每三个曼陀罗就为这个圣名而临在，就以这样的方式来念诵十圈，念诵一圈。
Yeah. So, you know,There's just this moment.
嗯，所以说实际上也就只有当下此刻而已。
And that's all we can manage.
这就是我们能够做到的一切。
But we can manage that.
嗯，并且我们是有能力能够去管理好当下的这一刻的。
In this way, peacefully perform devotional service and just depend on Krishna.
然后以这样的方式我们就平和地履行自己的这个奉爱服务来做好自己的念诵做好自己的奉爱服务以这样的方式来取悦主 Krishna
And you'll make progress
然后你就能做出取得进步了 OK
Okay.
Okay, there are okay, questions from last week. 我们来看上个周还没有还剩下的问题哈。Olivia 这位妈妈姐问的问题，感恩咕噜的讲课，您前面提到在家人面前先做好自己，我之前也是这样的，但有时你看到家人做的一些不太好的事情，那是应该告诉他还是不告诉呢？比如说吃牛肉，感谢您的仁慈。 So this Mataji is asking that previously you mentioned that we need to be good ourselves, you know, when we deal with families, that we just take care of ourselves first. And that's what I did previously. But sometimes when I see that my family members doing something not that good, should I really tell the person or not? Such as if that person eats beef.
Well, it depends upon the kind of relationship you have with them.
所以说你告诉他还是不告诉他的话，这就取决于你跟这个人的关系是怎样的。
If it's somebody you have, you know, a deep trust and friendship with who'll be willing to hear your advice and they're open to listening to your advice, then I could see a situation where you might want to give it very humbly and carefully.
所以如果你跟这个人之间是有友情存在的，然后他你跟他之间是彼此有很深刻的信任的话，那么他愿意去聆听你说的话，他愿意去听到你给他的这个建议，那么当时发生的时候，你就可以很谦卑的给到他你的这个建议和你的想法。
Generally, a person is not qualified to receive information unless they first make an inquiry.
所以总的情况下来说的话呢，除非一个人他自己首先提出这个要求，或者提出他的这个就是想要去得到别人建议的这个想法，否则的话基本上他是可能不会愿意去听到别人给他的建议的。
So like if a family member asks you, you know, how do you remain healthy and how do you advance in spiritual life? And then you can say, well, it's really good not to harm other living beings.
所以说如果比如说举个例子，要是你的家人问你，哎，你是怎么样身体这么健康的呢？你是怎么样在自己的灵修生活当中进步的呢？然后这个时候你就可以说啊，那真的就是it's really good not to harm 那这个时候你就可以给他说，就是说我之所以这么健康，我之所以会这么就是能够在灵性生活当中进步，是由于我并没有去伤害到别的生物体。
But you just can't go up to one of your family members and start criticizing them for eating meat telling them how horrible they are for hurting others. They won't listen. They'll just become angry.
所以而如果哈，要是假如你要是只是走到一个家人的面前，然后就开始批评他，就是你怎么为什么要吃牛肉啊？你完全就是这个做这种非常罪恶的事情啊！然后你做的这种事情太伤天害理啊，或者是比如说伤害了另外的生物体啊等等，那么这个时候这位家人是根本不会听你说的话的。
So generally, before you give any information about Christian consciousness, somebody has to first inquire from you. You know, why are you so happy, or why don't you eat meat? And then you have to, you know, tell them your reasons without making them feel less than or uncomfortable.
Make them feel less what?
Less than you are, making them feel small, you know.
Oh, okay.
Without criticizing them, condescending.
I see. 所以说就是当就是总的来说的话呢，当你要去给到别人就是关于 Krishna 知觉的这些信息或者知识的时候，当你要去传教的时候，一般情况下都是这个人首先来询问你，就是哎，为什么这段时间心情这么好呢？为什么你现在不吃肉了呢？然后这个时候当别人问到你的时候，你才给到他理由，而你在给他理由的时候，你都是说话的那种方式是不会让对方感到不舒服的，是不会让对方觉得哎呀，这个就是你是一种站在居高临下的这种状态来去给别人训示的这种意思在里面。
Okay.
Okay, next one. Hari Vansa Das 这位爬布问的问题，在卡利年代，如果我们有高精微望远镜，能看到月亮或别的星球的居民吗？还是不被人类肉眼所能观察，以更精微的这个物质元素存在？So he's asking that in Kali Yuga, is it possible that we have some very advanced subtle telescope to see the residents on the moon or other planets? Or is they are all invisible to the human naked eyes, and then they all exist in a more subtle material elements?
Yeah, you can't see subtle matter with gross matter, so there's no kind of subtle telescope.
所以说我们是不能用这种就是粗糙的这种元素来观察到粗糙的元素，比如说用我们的眼睛哈，肉眼来观察到这种精微的这种东西的。因此的话呢，是不存在这种精微的望远镜的。
Yeah, so the only a person has to be empowered, you know, to see the demigods or to see certain great sages like Vyasadeva, you know.Who's living in the Himalayas. Madhvacharya, he had that power.
Madhvacharya. 所以说我们必须要获得被赋予一些力量才能够去看到半圣人或者是其他一些伟大的圣人，比如说现在还在这个喜马拉雅山居住的 Vyasadeva, 像Madhvacharya 他就有这样的力量。
Okay.
OK, next one, 我们来看下一个问题。这位奉献者奉爱风帆非凡问的问题。上次的问题，我是一位练诵半年的新人奉献者，听老的奉献者说太阳代表 Krishna 的眼睛，注视太阳可以得到力量。我试了一下，注视完后眼睛感觉有些不适，请问这个说法正确吗？这样对眼睛有伤害吗？谢谢。So this devotee is saying that I'm a new devotee that who has been chanting for half a year, and I've heard from the senior devotee that the sun represents the eye of Krishna, and if we look at the sun, we can get power. So I tried it, and after looking at the sun, my eyes feel discomfortable. So is such a statement correct? Will that actually harm my eyes?
Krishna. Yeah, Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita that, you know, in the universal form, you know, the sun is the eye of God.
所以 Krishna 在《薄伽梵歌》当中说到，就是这个宇宙的形体，就是 Krishna 的宇宙形体当中，太阳就是他的眼睛。
And practically speaking, without the sunlight, none of us could see anything.
然后从实际的角度来说的话呢，如果没有阳光的话，我们什么都看不到。
Yet, you know, the sunlight is very, very powerful, and we can't look directly at the sun without harming our eyes. So please don't do that.
然而的话呢，这个太阳光哈是非常非常强大的，是不是？如果真的是去注视这个太阳的话，肯定眼睛是会受伤的，是不是？千万别这样做。
Yeah, subtle vision is something that's given to us, we're revealed to us. So it's not something that we can get by austerity or by power, but only by surrender.
所以说这种精微的视域的话呢，或者这种精微的这些力量是向我们揭示出来的，不会是我们自己通过自己的努力或者通过自己的苦行，然后通过自己的力量就能够获得的。我们必须要去臣服，才能够就是取悦 Krishna， 然后 Krishna 他自己愿意向我们揭示出来的。
Yeah, so even when we chant, we shouldn't try and visualize or see Krishna, but we should chant in such a way that Krishna will want to see us.
所以因此即便在我们念诵的时候都不应该试图在念诵的时候去努力的想象 Krishna 的样子，然后以这样的方式来念诵，而是应该在念诵的时候能够去取悦主 Krishna， 能够让他感到非常的开心，然后他自己就愿意向我们展示出来了。
So if you become more and more present and you become aware of your presence, your existence now, when you look at the plants and the flowers and the trees, you'll mm-hmm. also begin to understand that they only exist because of Krishna's presence.
嗯，所以说，当你能够变得非常非常的存临在，能够在当下的这一刻，就能觉知到你自己的存在，然后并且你能够在这个就是能够去感受到身边的这些植物啊、花木啊、花草啊等等，它们的存在的话呢，嗯，你都能去觉知到它们的存在，那么慢慢的，你就能够去理解，我们之所以都会存在，都是由于是 Krishna 的原因，我们才能够得以存在的。
So for one.Who is a little bit developed in the art of being present, they become aware of Krishna's presence within everything that is present. There's nothing that exists without Krishna.
嗯嗯，所以说对于一个已经在临在当中比较进步的，就是已经发展出来了一些临在状态的一个奉献者来说，当他就是在念诵的时候，然后他就能够或者是不论是没有在念诵的时候，他能够去觉知到这个 Krishna 的临在， Krishna 的存在，所以他就能真正的去体验到万事万物之所以会存在，都是由于 Krishna 的。
Okay, anything more? More questions still?
Yeah, one last one. Okay, 我们来看最后一个问题。Padma Locha Maharaj 问的，顶拜 Guru， 我在工作中还有些。然后 Guru 说，哎，我知道，有 Padman Lucha。 然后我在工作中还有些梦想，想做得更完美，我总想用完美的方式去做一切工作、家庭、灵修、传教，这会影响我的灵性进步吗？ So Padman Lucha Mataji is asking that I still have some dream in my work that I want my work to be perfect. I always want to be perfect in doing everything, my career, my family, my spiritual life, and my preaching. Will this actually affect my spiritual advancement?
If you do that unconsciously, yes, because it's oftentimes the motivation for perfection is not coming from the soul, but it's coming from the false ego.
是的，如果就是如果你是一种毫未察觉的，这种无意识的状态，想要就是用完美的方式来做一切的话，那么确实就会影响你的灵性进步。因为很多时候的话呢，想要获得完美的这个目的，这个企图的话，并不是来自于灵魂，而是来自于假我的。
Yeah, so those thoughts that are being generated by the false ego.Those will continue.
所以说的话呢，由假我所制造出来的念头，他们是会继续存在，继续发生的。
But if you bring the thought to consciousness, which means you just notice, oh, there's the thought wanting perfection, then it has no more power over you because you're not unconscious.
但是的话呢，如果你能把这些假我制造出来的念头带入到你的知觉当中，换言之就是你能够去注意到，哎，刚才这个念头又冒出来了，我又想去掌控，我又想去这个就是让这个事情完美的这个念头，当你能注意到这个念头的时候，此时你就并不是毫未察觉的去跟着你的心意走，然后而你的心意，你的假我就在这个时候失去了对你的控制，那么这个时候你就是处于这样一种觉醒的这种状态。
Yeah, only Krishna is perfect.
因为只有 Krishna 才是完美的。
So as soon as you notice, you know, the thoughts of the false ego, now you're liberated. So that's the cause of liberation. If you're maintaining these thoughts and desires unconsciously, then that's the cause of bondage.
所以说当你能够注意到这些想要达到完美的这些念头的时候，那么这个时候你就已经解脱了。而当你能够去注意到这些念头是你的假我制造出来的时候，那这个就是使得你获得解脱自由的原因了。而如果你一直是这种维系着这些念头的话，那这个就是使得你继续被捆绑在假我和心理当中的这个原因了。
Now, if you see you're having a thought, you know, I want my...life to be perfect, I want this to be perfect, and you notice that that's the false ego.
所以说如果你能看到自己这个念头冒出来，希望就是看到我想要我的人生都是完美的这样一个念头冒出来，你能注意到就是在这个念头的背后是你的假我。
Then you judge yourself for having that thought.
然后你去评判自己，就是竟然有生发出这样的一个念头出来。
That's the false ego coming in through the back door.
嗯，那这个时候就是你的这个假我从后门进来了。
Because the false ego wants to be perfect.
因为你的假我想要完美。
It means the false ego thinks that I'm perfect when I don't have a false ego.
然后你的假我就会想，sorry, Guru Maharaj, could you repeat? The false ego wants to
be perfect.
Wants to be perfect.
Yeah, it has this idea that I'll be perfect. I'll be a perfect devotee, and I have no more judgment.
I have no more judgment. 啊，这个时候就是你的假我想要去，你的假我的这种想要就是我想要成为一个完美的奉献者，我想要成为一个完美的人，然后你就会去评判自己，就是哎，我竟然为什么？You want to judge yourself for what?
You have a judgment that you shouldn't have judgment.
You have a judgment that you should not
have a judgment.
Oh, 然后你会有这样一种评判，就是你不应该去评判。
It's just more and more false ego.
所以说就只是越来越多的这个假我而已。
But the one who doesn't have a thought, who's just witnessing the thought, the awareness, that's perfect.
而那个就是没有念头的那个知觉，那个去客观的观察这一切的这个知觉的话，它才是完美的。
Yeah, so those thoughts are not going to stop. We need the false ego. We need it to be in this world.
因此你的这些念头的话，他们是不会停止出现的，因为我们需要有假我才能够存活在这个世界当中。
So consciousness is already perfect. It's Satchitananda.
所以知觉本身就是完美的 Satchitananda。
Yeah, we're not becoming a spirit soul. We already are one.
我们并不是要让自己去成为一个灵性的灵魂，我们本身就已经是灵性的灵魂了。
Yeah, so when thoughts of perfection arise, just notice them as thoughts, that's all, and then let them go and stay present.
然后因此当你这个想要去获得完美的念头出现的时候，就去注意到这些念头，然后再放手这些念头，就仅此而已。
And that's progress.
而这个就是进步。
Not noticing that.
而如果你没有注意到，而如果你没有注意到这些念头的话，完全是去跟着这些念头走，那么这个就是再次的受到捆绑了。
All right, good work, Narayani Devi Dasi. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Guru Maharaj.
And I guess, and I thank Samukhi Radha Devi Dasi. She's our regular facilitator now.
So 还要感谢 Samukhi Madhaji, 现在都是您来就是帮助我们来进行这个讲课。
So, talk to you next week.
Okay. 所以我们就下个星期再跟大家相见啦。
All glories to Prabhupada, all glories to Srimad Bhagavatam.
所有的荣耀归于帕帕，所有的荣耀归于圣学经典佛教法坛。
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Okay.外昆塔基因服务源于聆听，今天的讲课到此结束。Hare Krishna， 愿大家有美好的知觉的一天。